the law of the harvest. You know about this law. Your mother and daddy probably taught it to you at a very early age. Your Sunday school classes have refreshed your memory year in and year out. It's a little slogan that probably you have pitched out to your children. But it's one of those laws under which we live. A law that we misunderstand, we forget. It's one we even ignore because it seems you don't have to listen to it and pay much attention to it because there seemingly are no consequences when you break this law. Now, it's the third in our series of the strange laws under which we live. As I prepared for the sermon, I found that there is no law so frightening to think about seriously as this one. And yet there is no law that is denied more than this one. If you have a Bible this morning, we'll look at that law together. It's found in the book of Galatians. I'm going to give you some rest this morning. I'm not going to ask you to flip all through the Bible. We're going to stay just in the sixth chapter of Galatians. If you can find that book, you're home free this morning. Verses 7 through 8. Galatians, the sixth chapter, verses 7 and 8. Now Paul says to this church in Galatia, "Be not deceived." Don't let anybody trick you now. Don't let anybody talk you out of this. "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now that's the law of the harvest. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I don't know whether you're like me, but maybe if you are, immediately you say to yourself, "Preacher, that is not true. That law is not in effect. And I can give you one illustration after another of people who do not reap what they sow. Whether they be bad people, misfortunate people, evil people, or good people, or church people. That law just does not work. I know of good people who reap evil, who reap misfortune, who reap tears, who reap hard knocks every day of their life, who reap misery all the time. I know good people who don't reap good, but they sow good. And then I know evil people who get by real well. They get all the breaks. They get away with their crimes. They're cantankerous. They sow discord. And yet they reap prosperity. They're as crooked as a barrel of snakes. And yet in their wealth and their health and their power, they're getting along very well. The law of the harvest does not hold water. Now, it's hard to deal with a law like this, isn't it? I know all of us have in our lives beheld men who were not sowing good, but they did sow a life of evil. And yet it seems they have less suffering than we do. They have less problems than we do. Income tax will check us, never checks them. And they are crooked and we're not. They don't have many misfortunes, and they don't have a lot of the hardships that we have to go through. Things that break down at our house, never seem to break down at their house. If there's some kind of game, they'll win the prizes. We never would win if we were the only one entering. You know, there are people like this. And they profess no love for God. They show no time for God. They don't care about the church. Never read the Bible. Never pray it. They make a boast of it. And yet, they seemingly, you see, have it so much better than anybody else on the street. They don't practice any of the holy graces. That is love and mercy and truth and patience. They're the worst neighbor in the whole block. And yet, they seem to be reaping more of the good things of life than anybody else in the country. We scratch our head and we say, I don't understand it. I try to do right and try to be honest, and all I get for it is kicked in the mouth and more trouble. Then you come along and tell me, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Well, what about the law of the harvest, folks? Is it true or not? Is it true or not? Well, John the Baptist sowed good. What did he get him? Prison and the loss of his head. Paul sowed good. What did he get him? He got thrown in prison for many years of his life. Jesus sowed good. What did he get him? Well, it says he had no place to lay his head at night time. At the very end of his life, they crucified him. No, sirree. The law of the harvest is not true. And it's not in effect. And there's just too much evidence against it to say it is. And we say, well, there's no reason why I should worry about breaking that law because it's not carried out. That law has no teeth in it. Because too many folks that are evil are getting away with it, too many folks that are good are having trouble. There's no law or no teeth in that law. And we say, oh, I know there are some evil folks that get their hard knocks and get their just deserts and end up in the penitentiary or end up in misery and problems that they ought to get. And I know there are some good folks that are having it real good. Now, I know that there are some exceptions to the law. But as a general rule, the law of the harvest does not operate for the majority of people that try to operate. And this morning, as a minister, on the law, on the authority of the Word of God, I have to maintain the law's right. The law's right. And it does operate. You may say, well, preacher, you're never going to convince us. You've already convinced us that it's not going to work. Now, I know there's one thing about law that I've learned as I get older, and that is that usually there are some fine points to the law. And unless you know the fine points, you don't really know the law completely. And it's important that we know the fine points about the law of the harvest. Because until you understand the fine points, you're not going to understand the law. And there are two fine points to this law that we so often overlook. Both of them are in the eighth verse. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Fine point number one concerns the sowing. There is a sowing to the flesh, and there is a sowing to the Spirit. And fine point number two concerns the reaping. There is a reaping of corruption, and there is a reaping of life everlasting. Now let's go back to fine point number one. In this point, man is pictured as a sower with two kinds of seeds available. One fleshly and the other spiritual. Now, what do you mean by sowing to the flesh? Let's see if I can, by illustration or definition, explain to you. Sowing to the flesh is doing anything that satisfies the old carnal desires of your life. It's living to please your passions, however that can be explained by you. It's walking a path that satisfies your personal whims and wants and wishes and desires. It's just simply doing my thing when I want to do it. Whatever that involves. Whether innocent or criminal. It just means practicing what comes naturally. It means staying possibly within the law of man, but walking after the world's pleasures, which the world says is not unlawful. It's filling the mind with thoughts and imaginations of things that are worldly or that are immoral or envious or hateful or dishonest. Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 19 through 21, you get an idea of some of the things that the flesh wants us to do, wants us to get involved in, all the various ramifications. Now, the works of the flesh, that is, if the flesh has its way, these are the things that it would like for us to do. It would like for us to become adulterous. However you want to do that, you know, there's many ways you can do this in your mind or at your show or just sitting in a chair thinking. Somebody else's wife. You just, any old way that makes a difference. This is some of the desires that the flesh has. And he goes on and says fornication, uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variances and emulations and wrath and strife and seditions and heresies and envyings and murders and drunkenness and revelings and everything like that. These are some of the desires of the flesh, which a lot of folks devote much of their time to trying to accomplish. In other words, just doing whatever pleases you. And you can get away with. And that's what it means, sowing to the flesh. Well, what do you mean by sowing to the Spirit? Well, you do those things that you believe would be pleasing to God. You practice those things which are known as Christ-like graces. The 5th chapter, verse 22 tells you what these are. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are good seeds. Now, a lot of us practice these things, but if you want to sow seeds by the Spirit, then you see you sow things like this. They're Christ-like graces. It means that you are trying to redeem the time. It means that you're doing those things that you feel are in obedience to the Word of God. It means that you're seeking to study what it would be like to live like Christ under every situation. It means that you will attempt to surrender to the commands of Christ that you know are placed upon you. Now, a common mistake that I think we make in associating sowings of the flesh as only things that are considered to be really immoral and things that are called big bad sins. And we sometimes make the mistake associating sowing in the Spirit with only going to church and prayer and reading the Bible and church work. Either I'm an out and out ungodly heathen or I'm a church-going saint, and that's all we think about is meaning, sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. And we would probably say most of our life, maybe 95% of my life, is neither sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. Maybe 2.5% I give away to the flesh, and 2.5% I give away to church worship and the Spirit. But the majority of my life has nothing to do with either the flesh or the Spirit. Now, that's a common mistake most all of us think as we begin to think about this matter of sowing. And here's where the confusion results about the law of the harvest. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I watch my wife to learn how it's done. Well, we got rid of the weeds, folks. That was my first sermon, you know, and by the first law of the wilderness is you plow up the land and you turn your back on it, and the weeds will outgrow your plowed up ground before the crop grows up. Well, that's what happened to my garden, my wife's garden. So she finally got the weeds out. Looks real nice. But you know them weeds going to be coming right on back in there again pretty soon. And they're going to beat back the crop. But I found this out, and she looks at the calendar, and she says, you know, I got so many days to get my seed in the ground. I can't wait till December to plow and to plant. I've learned that from her. And now, I don't know a lot about gardening, but I realize that there is a duration of time in which you plant your seed. Otherwise, forget it. It's too late. And the amount of time that you have to plant the seed is very short in the amount of time that you have in which you can't plant it. There's a lot more time you have to wait for it to grow and to produce fruit than it is that you have to plant the seed. You have to get the ground ready, and then there is a certain amount of time in which you have to plant your seed. That's the right time. Now, in the law of the harvest, we deal with the very same principle. But what we don't understand is that this lifetime is the planting period. It is the seed sowing period. From the moment of your birth to the moment of your death is seed planting time in the law of the harvest. You see, the law of the harvest concerns two time periods. One, there is seed sowing time, which is from birth to death. And second, there is reaping or harvest time, which is throughout all eternity. Now, the law of nature teaches us that there is a seed planting time and there is a harvest time. I don't need the Bible to tell me that. I believe it's true. And God says, now look at nature, fella. It's going to teach you a lesson. There is seed planting time, and whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. If he plants a strawberry, he will not reap a plum. Now you mark it down, he will sow what he reaps. But there is a time for sowing and there is a time for reaping. Nature teaches us that. And he's trying to say to us, get in your mind now, the law of the eternal harvest. There is a spiritual planting time and there is a spiritual harvest time. The planting time is now and tomorrow. You say, when's the reaping time? Eternity is reaping time, not now. Whatsoever a man soweth in this life, he shall reap in the next life. Not whatsoever a man soweth today, he shall reap tomorrow. No, that's not the law of the harvest. We are just in the seed planting period as farmers upon this earth. Now notice it says, be not deceived. Verse 7, God is not mocked. I started the message by saying, well, I'm not going to pay attention to that law because it doesn't work. Oh yes, it does work. But the time for it to work is not yet upon us. If I went out this morning and said, Mary Lou, planting seeds doesn't work. Look at there. I don't see a one of them producing turnips this morning. I can go out there and pluck the seed. Well, there's no turnip there. She said, you're crazy, man. It hasn't had enough time. That's right. That's right. I've always in my ministry been looking for the harvest now. The reason I quit the Sower magazine, I said, many times I send it out and it doesn't do any good. It hasn't produced a harvest. And finally God said to me today, Billy, of course it hasn't produced a harvest. Quit pulling the seed up. The harvest is in eternity. look for it now. I don't even promise it to you now. Don't be foolish. Go out there to your wife's garden and realize you're planting seeds. Nothing is growing. Nothing is materializing. Nothing is going to be accomplished now. All you're going to do is plant. And the harvest is going to come in the next walk. And in comparison to the duration of time, you don't have much planting time, brother. In comparison to 10,000 years, and we've just begun, 90 years in this life is a very short planting period compared to 10,000 years, and we've just begun. 90 years, if you can live that long, of planting seeds is a short time. If you're going to live 900 million billion years to reap the crop, man, we got a short time to get our planting done. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What's he saying here? The law of the harvest is in effect. And it will work. Do not be deceived and do not be tricked by outward appearances. The seed may not seem to be growing and there may not be any hope of fruit. But, brother, I'll guarantee you the law stands. There will be a harvest of the seed you sow. Don't you be fooled. Don't you be tricked. The harvest is as sure as the sowing. What's the seed? This is what startled me. What is the seed? I went to Steve's store the other day to get Mary Lucy seeds. And I asked for turnip seeds. I mean, he wanted, a couple of pounds. Man, this guy got this great big old tray. And I said, I'm going to have a couple of pounds. I looked in there, you know. I guess there was 25,000 seeds in there or more. I said, well, maybe not. I thought, how much? Just put some in. Let me look at them. She put in a quarter of an ounce. You know, and that was that tall. And I said, that may be enough. Yeah, man, that would probably grow 5,000 turnip plants. I said, well, give me a half ounce, be on the safe side. Got home, man, and said, that's not enough. I don't know what she's growing, folks, but I know she put out 5,000 seeds. She said it wasn't enough. So I got another half ounce. So folks, if y'all need turnips, you know where you can find them. I mean by the bukus of turnips. Now, each one of those little seeds seems so small to me. You know, folks, that every thought and every word and every work and every act and every plan and every activity that you perform every second becomes one seed. If you think about it. In a 24-hour day, I don't know how many seconds that would be, but you planted that many seeds in that 24-hour period. Everything becomes a seed that you and I plant. Everything we say and think and do will sprout someday and produce some kind of crop. Now, some of the seeds that my wife plants will probably not come up. Hopefully. Hopefully. But God says, be not deceived. I'm in control of this garden that you're planting, and every seed will materialize and will sprout and will bring forth some kind of harvest, either for good or bad. Every second you piddle away, every thought you have, everything is a seed that's planted in the soil, and God jots it down where it's planted, when it's planted, what it's planted, and what will be the crop. And it will produce as God says it will. Folks, you and I are sowing for an eternity. I want to say this morning to you, I want to encourage you. You've sown some good seeds this morning. I really believe that. You've sown some good seeds this morning. Just by being here, folks, you've redeemed at least 1 hour of your seed sowing time, for which you will gain an eternal benefit. And I'm glad to be here, and I want to commend you for being here. You were very wise. You were very wise. But just not this hour, the hour going home, every thought you have in that car will be seed-sowing time. Everything you do this day will be seed-sowing time. And you will either sow every second good or you will sow it bad. You will either sow it to satisfy the flesh or you will sow it trying to satisfy God Almighty Himself. Everything you do today will be done for one of two reasons. To please self or to please your Lord. It's got to be that way. It can be no other way. Either God will benefit this day from every moment or you yourself will try to get the benefit of every moment. Note Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, what's the due season? Eternity. Eternity. See, how do you know that? Go back up there to verse 8. Life everlasting is when you shall reap. When is life everlasting? In eternity. When shall a man reap corruption? In eternity, not now. He doesn't reap the benefits of his crimes now. He gets away with a lot of them. What is the great problem the farmer has? Patience. There are so many things that I have started and I have stopped. And I have said, it's not worth it. It's not going to do any good. Why keep on going and doing and trying? It's not accomplishing anything. It's a failure. And God says, I understand your feeling, fellow. But you in seed planting time. Don't judge yet. Let us not be weary in planting seeds in this life. For in due season, I promise that you shall reap. But you mustn't give up sowing seeds that produce a good harvest. Don't stop sowing to the Spirit. Don't stop sowing thoughts and words and acts that please God. Don't stop now. Don't raise you a harvest of ruined, wasteless, worthless crops. I want to say this, if I understand it correctly, there's going to be a difference between us in heaven. Oh, well, I believe all God's people will be there. I believe that. But there won't be any equality in heaven. And it's going to all be based on your harvest. On the harvest. And I believe there's going to be degrees of glory in heaven as well as degrees of misery in hell. We're not all going to have the same. We're not all going to have the same privileges. We're not all going to have the same benefits. We're not all going to be alike. And your position and your glory and your reward and your benefits will all be determined on the harvest of the seeds you are now sowing. And there will be no miracles where God will take a bad seed that's planted and turn it into a good harvest. For whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he shall reap. If he sows to the flesh, there is no way it can be transformed into the Spirit. The law of the harvest also means that he who sows the most shall reap the most. Some of you have been sowing 5 years. Some of you 10. Some of you 20. Some of you 50 years. Today, if a man became a Christian for the first time, he'd have maybe just a few moments of sowing today. And then he died. He'd go to heaven. But folks, he wouldn't have much of a harvest. And that's all he's ever going to have. He won't have any more seeds in heaven. There won't be any more sowing in heaven. Heaven is harvest. Earth is seed sowing time. Or you can have a deathbed repentance, but he won't have any harvest. You say, well, the harvest won't make any difference. I want to say this. I believe the harvest there will make as much difference as the harvest here makes to the farmer today. You know the difference it makes? It makes the whole world a difference. And I believe that God will judge every seed we've ever sown on two bases. One, has it been sown to please myself, or has it been sown to please my Lord? And then you shall be rewarded with the harvest of both crops. One you'll lose. It may mean you'll lose what could have been the great glory you could have had in heaven throughout all eternity. It's a permanent, final harvest. And I believe that next to getting to heaven, nothing will matter as much to you once there as the glory with which you shine throughout all eternity. Next to getting there, the most important thing will be to you, what will be my position? What will be my possessions? Just like it is right down here. And you will be ranked and blessed according to the law of the harvest. And your delight, capacity, and your satisfaction capacity, and your position capacity in eternity will be determined by how you sow your seeds right now. I hope that I can make every seed count spiritually from this day forward. Man, I've got a crop failure, I feel like, from this day back. Folks, we're sowing when we're just sitting. We're sowing. But you don't get a crop worth cropping from sitting. Father, we're thankful this morning for the law of the harvest. Though sometimes we look around us and say it doesn't work, may we remember that we got our times all mixed up. This is seed planting time. It's not harvest time. Some may harvest and some may lose, but their crop, it's going to tell the difference is the eternal crop. Father, help us this morning to make every second, which is a seed given to you by us and given to us by you. And may we use it wisely, as though it was the richest coin that could be given man on this earth. For it shall buy for him or lose for him eternal possessions. The law of the harvest is in effect. May we never forget it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you're encouraged by that.